Good afternoon, everyone. I call the May 25th, 2023, City Council meeting to order.
Public call.
Speaker Austin.
Here.
Mr. Cooley.
Here.
Mr. Gephardt. Mr. Howard.
Here.
Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Mr. McCroy.
Yeah.
Mr. Riggs.
Here.
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 Thank you, Councilwoman Travis. Will you please lead us in the pledge of allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the justice.
Oh, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright
thank you, everyone, for their patience. We had some technical difficulties at 4 o'clock, but we are good to go. Do want to make a note for everyone speaking this evening. Please speak directly to the microphone and speak clearly. We have a little different setup tonight. And if you are not speaking, please keep your microphone off. And people in the gallery, please keep the comments down and talking. We're on general communications. This is announcements of congratulations, condolences, and community events. I have one to make an announcement that on Monday at 10 a.m. there will be Memorial Day ceremony at Warwick Veterans Middle School. Are there any other announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events from members of the council? Councilman Madison.
Yes, Mr. President. Thank you. I'd like to request a moment of silence for the passing of the moment.
Absolutely. We'll have a moment of silence, please. Thank you. And again, Councilmember Randall was his from home. Any other communications from members of council? Next up is executive communications. There are none, so we're going to move to the public comment. This is the sign-up sheet here, we have a last call, and I'm going to ask someone to grab that. So public comment, rule number one. After general communications and prior to consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the city council of each month, there shall be a period of time, not to exceed 30 minutes, during which citizens may comment about board or city government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up or present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. Topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. A public comment session will terminate at the expiration of either the earlier or all speakers group, including their allotted time for the 30 minutes. Waiver is provision required from the municipal level of council. We have five individuals signed up. The first individual is Barry. If we could just turn the mic on for Mr. Cook.
I just received a text from a constituent saying that the audio is wrong.
Yeah, I just got it. I might be wrong too, but I don't think that's okay.
Barry Cook, 20-year resident of Watertown, president of the Watertown Taxpayers Association. I'd like to take most of my time to read into the record some of the comments that I received from members of my association, various Facebook pages, neighborhood groups. I'll start with a quote. What happened to our fair city? It seems here's a candidate voting more choice of candidates and more judgment on the common box office has taken its toll. We may very well have reached the point of no return when it comes to governmental management of our municipal endeavors and sustainability. Please pray for our city and its people as we are on the edge of a deep dark abyss and beginning to lead to a giant mass of financial destitution. The lack of open question regarding the budget we're speaking about. The lack of prudent questioning is important. Coupled with administration, I'll skip that part, that's under our review. Even spending the taxpayers' money, another good question to him, meaning the mayor. Another good question to him, giving his daughter 25% pay raise. These are not my comments, I'm reading comments to see if I can. Our city leadership would have been more intelligent discourse if the majority of the council would be played with us. You all should be ashamed of yourselves for not calling out this administration. All the taxpayers have better start taking notice of what's going on in the city. While Christmas lights and a new ice cream are pleasant distraction, the city is hemorrhaging money. When will we ever talk to you in the city council finally vote for the taxpayers? Let them know how much the property taxes are. Now that the first tsunami wave has hit, residents and small businesses have seen increases ranging from hundreds to thousands of dollars. More massive waves are breaking the horizon. The question is, no longer will they get how soon they get. This evening, the majority of the city council is poised to pass another irresponsible budget proposal by Mayor Rose. A new program will be initiated set up at a time to be employee health care trust fund. It will require just about the same amount of new tax dollars, $68 million, in the next 9 years versus the combined tax dollars in for city services over the last 20 years, or $71.5 million. The city council is incapable of making sound financial decisions. The city administration led by the mayor and in combination with the inner council is going to ban the city as well as many rural taxpayers. And yet, the city council chamber is empty. This is not a good idea. In the 3 years that Stanley Coles has been in office, spending has increased by approximately $32 million, an average of more than $10 million a year. Keep in mind, the maximum tax increase generates about $8.5 million in revenue. Expect more large tax increases in the very near future on the top of the line just received. Many people don't understand there's a significant tax increase paid into the new tax rate from the revaluation of homes. In addition, small businesses, which make up 85% of all businesses in the city, will be paying much more tax due to the change in the tax ratio that allows us to charge businesses and their homes 175% of their residential rate. The old rate was 157% of their residential rate. With massive spending by the school department in the city, plans to build new hospitals and $68 million in the next 9 years to fund free health care for life, some will see their taxes double in the next 5 to 7 years. I believe the reason the chamber was ending has to do that it will not change the vote.
You have 1 minute to go.
Let me get past that. Thank you very much. I think I've just about to clear. I want to comment just basically. Find the improper use and misuse of our money, rainy day fund money, healthcare insurance reserve money, property sale to both, into both the operating budget and the OPEC irresponsible. I also think it was an inconceivable plan to use money from the 40-year plan to fully fund these 5 years of the OPEC. In closing, I want to offer the many reaches of plans and the suggestion of others who want to be considered looking at zero-based budgeting. Zero-based budgeting is applicable to industry and municipalities, and I'll be forwarding some information to you. Thank you.
Mr. President, for clarification, if you don't know what? No, we can't comment. That is thank you. Next up is Robert. Robert, I can't believe I'm of the sanctity of my hope to speak, but my words fall on deaf ears. You know, in all the years I've watched the waste and abuse of this city and documented, it's never been worse. It's the worst it's ever been. People hiding out in the woods, trucks left running, people driving around, not getting out of vehicles, no one's doing a damn thing about it. The waste is noxious, and I can document it on everything. You know, many instead of building outside West Street, we really need that as a priority. Should build a pet park over Station 1, and then all the firefighters can bring their pets and take them for joyrides to city vehicles. I'm going to just share with you a couple of numbers. Since this phase got 11, this is on salaries and increases. Tax collector will drop about $116,000. City assessed about $202,000. MIS up $117,000. Purchases are dropping up $95,000. Boards of commission $5,300. Animal shelter salaries are $32,000. Police department salaries are $3.76 million. Fire department salaries are $4.2 million. And their sick time is up 59%. And you don't think that's a scam. It's just like the unused sick time was a scam. You have a group of thieves in that department that are defrauding the taxpayer, but you don't do anything about it. Building inspector salaries are $368,000. Library are $650,000. Tourism up $150,000. Public Works Administration up $575,000. Highway salaries are $892,000. Recycling salaries are $253,000. Goes on and on. What are you doing with the taxpayer? Nothing. Zero. And also, if you recall, a couple meetings ago, I made an approach yesterday to Councilman McAllister and Councilman Powell to come to a nice friendly meeting. But Mr. Cushman and I gave a presentation based on fact. And numbers, which is economy, why?
But you had some guts to come and answer questions. You missed a great opportunity to be educated on fact-based numbers. But you declined. And that doesn't surprise me. This council, this administration, will go down as the rubber stamp council. You know, one person asking legitimate financial business questions. The rest of you sit there. How do you conduct it? Do you conduct your own personal business this way? The city's going down the tubes. The guy in the corner office doesn't know. He can't act. You people can't. You can't see what's going on. Where's the money coming from? Just what you proposed on OPEB costs, $7.5 million a year, and in schools, if it goes $13.5 million a year, that's $21 million. We can raise $8.6 million. Where are you going to get the money? We got a printing press downstairs? No one's thinking about the taxpayer. Now, I'll leave you with this. I'm just looking in the tourism department window. There's a nice sign that says, "Stay warm." You should take that sign and put it in the vault. Because when this thing is done, that sign is going to be worth millions of dollars as the people are making the mass exodus from Walmart. And you people have a lot of
thank you. The next speaker is Ian.
Hi, my name is Ian Sheridan. I'm from Shady West Orange in Warren County. I've been a resident of Walmart since the 80s, and shamefully, I haven't really been involved in Walmart administration in Warren County, which hopefully I can change going forward. I brought up this year to my court counseling before I reach out to all the time. Anyway, I was sitting here the other night. Our mayor and I started making a presentation, and I was disappointed when the other department heads came to the county and didn't make similar presentations. I expected to hear from them the pluses and minuses that they wanted, the successes that they are using, whatever goals they had. Instead, we got a few councilmen that asked a couple of questions and had good results. So, we didn't have the right to know what was being asked in this budget. It was like we were going to have to ferret out what it was that the department was asking for. And since we don't have access to any of the real nitty-gritty documents, that's like it was it's odd to know it goes to anyone, whatever. I worked in a nonprofit for many years. I worked for a major municipality and I worked for a Fortune 500 company. All of the time, I know it related to budgets and taxes. So I come from some background in this issue. I think that the sale of public assets is disgraceful, including the operating budget. No one listens or observes what happened to Providence over the years. Mayor Smiley is just now recognizing all the damage that's done by all the foolish inclusion of the sale of tax assets over and over again, trying to balance budget. It has to be done from the ground up. It needs to be done from starting out and saying every department, reduce the budget. Find some ways to cut spending. Save a few dollars before you even start. The fire department is talking about a new rescue route and the reimbursements you were getting from Social Security. What I want to know is what is done to offset the cost of the fire that's going to the senior centers and the assisted living. I mean, I live across the street from that lovely place. There are so many runs that go to that facility on a weekly basis. My dog doesn't even care anymore. The dog doesn't even walk. I mean, he gets, like, I get a rescue coming down the street and you know the engine's out. You don't even look out there because you know what it is. These people need to be charged something more. You could analyze my name and talk about it. It's probably not five runs in our whole neighborhood over the last 5 years. You could get that run in a month next door. It needs to be something different. The finance director the other day said that wages, when Councilmember was asking about benefits and wages. And I thought I heard to say in this that the salary of an employee is based on the scheduled wage, and then we add to that the longevity, and then we add to that their approved, their negotiated rates. But let me say, longevity is a perk. It's not a given base salary. So it should be the base salary.
You have 1 minute.
The schools, we don't have schools. What we need is better education. Before we build a new school, we need to figure out a way to get more kids back. And the only way to get kids back, people back, is by increasing the education. There are too many people going out of schools and broken schools, only because the kids are not taught. It's simple. We need to just get down to basics, get school department back to basics, and do some grunt work and not look at the hierarchy. They need to look at the bottom line. Populations are increasing, the schools are increasing. We've only got 45% of the kids who are 5 years old. There's no big swell of school. We don't need new schools. We need some of them that's concentrated on providing service and good service and basic education to these kids. I've been voting for more years than some people in the council have been alive. And I would just once look forward to somebody that would say, we can reduce the budget by just 1%.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Darlene.
My name is Darlene Echo. I live in Ward 7. I'm a lifelong resident of Warwick County, 57 years here in the city. Graduated from Warwick Local Schools. I currently teach at Tolkien. I've been teaching for 33 years in Warwick, 35 years overall. President of the Warwick Teachers Union, homeowner, taxpayer, voter. I spoke the other night in favor of the school's budget and why everything that the superintendent and I was asking for is necessary. The previous speaker just talked about why we're not educating or they need to get kids to get basic education. They are. I have been educating for more than half of my life in the city. And I put my heart and soul into the work that I do as to the approximately 900 people that I represent. And our district is moving forward. In a previous meeting, our administrator spoke of the various initiatives. If you go to school committee meetings, you can see that test scores are going up. But there's more to an education than a test score. And that is why announcement that the budget is necessary. As far as new schools, come to Tolkien, and I'll show you why we need new schools. It's disgraceful what we're putting our children through. We want kids to come, then they need to give them a proper place to go. Why are they going out? Because they can get better facilities and other systems that are building new schools. In addition to speaking about the schools, so I want to talk about the city. As I said, I've been here my whole life, and I will take the lead in Warwick over the other parts of the city that have perhaps lower taxes. In our city, we have a professional fire department, we have a professional police department, we have a professional school department, and we have public works. We have garbage collection. If you want to pay no taxes or lower taxes, go to, for example, Charlestown. They pay very low taxes and they don't have garbage collection. Everybody has to pay for their own garbage pickup. They have a volunteer fire department. They're having trouble getting firefighters. So you pay for what you need. And I might live in Warwick. Other people might not. But I know that the budget is large because we're a large city. I sat here for almost the entire night the other night, and I sat through all the presentations. And I believe that the city council and the mayor are doing what they can to provide proper living conditions for people in this city. And I will once again, though, just reiterate some of the points I made the other night about why we need the budget we have for the schools. Some of that budget we can help. Mr. Powell brings up every meeting of the unfunded mandates, he's absolutely correct. There's about $12 million that automatically goes out the door to charters and to pathways and to neighborhood academies. And that's not because Oregon is so bad, they don't want to go here. It's because the other things are shiny and new and they want to go here. The charters, if you see the advertisements on the television, the charters are advertising. I have only 5 kids in my class. Well, I'd love to have that too here in Oregon, but we can't. So please consider the budget, obviously carefully, and thank you. And I mean, I pay taxes here too. My elderly mother pays taxes here. My family has a business here too. But I believe that as good citizens, we do have to fund our schools and our fire department and our police department and our public works, everything that we benefit from this city. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is away.
Hi. I'm Shannon. Yeah, this is what happens. My name is Elaine Gamble. I'm the grandfather. This is going to be totally stream of consciousness because I just threw things together as opposed to when I sent last week to my council. But I got hit in the 2018 reassessment. My house was increased in value by $52,700. Now I get hit again with an increase of $97,800 on my house. Did I mention that I've lived in this house for 52 years? Okay, so we take this increase, which amounted to more room if you would at least stick to the proposed tax rate of $14.76. We'll amount to a 467 cents increase in my taxes, which to me qualifies for the $500 increase that was commonly about the mayor's increase in taxes. He's part of 21% of the city that's going to pay $5,500 or more. 467 is pretty close to that $500. Vision, whatever, the evaluating company, in their letters to us saying, you can appeal your assessment, but quite frankly, because if you can get more than that assessment value, you're wasting your time. As I did waste my time in 2018 when I filed an appeal. Mr. Cashman's letter in today's meeting, I thought was for the most part pretty good, especially one section where he mentions something along the lines of, and the senior discount has remained around $400 for years, or I can testify to the fact that inflation has not hit the senior discount. It stays at that $415.20. For as long as I've been a senior, which seems like I have a long time. And so there you go, that's a personal comment. One of my other comments, which thank heaven I have a certain person as my counselor, always comments on it, is the retirement benefits. Good God, I had my insurance paid for. Even in family, stop and think about that. The only opposition, everybody in the country seems to have paid lip service to the fight for overgoing to do something about pension benefits. And then when push comes to shove, there's only one person on the council who fights for the residents of this city. And not just the residents of the Republic, but the residents of the whole city. When these things happen, these votes are taken, I'm reminded of Councilwoman Nancy, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, I think she represents Carolina. She always says, no, I'm not going to vote for something. Always gives her the reasons, and then it comes down to her. She uniquely acquiesces to whatever the leadership says. So, I would ask you to stop and think about what's going on. I don't expect a miracle, but good God, don't go higher than the proposed. I heard at the phone that they were all going to be 50 cents less than the proposed 1476 per thousand. And some of us don't want to leave the house. I don't think they're going to be afford to the farm. I think I could be more crazy than I am. So I wish you would go up by somehow.
Thank you. Can we just get someone to turn the microphone off? There we are inside. You don't have to do it. Well, okay, we're now moving on to the agenda. We're now going to have a budget items. Number one is PCR 5823. Those are the transfers to supplemental appropriations and emergency appropriations. So we had a public hearing on Monday, so council now I'm looking for a motion to move this within a second for discussion. Move favorable action on PCR 5823. Second by Councilman Foley. Is there any discussion on PCR 58-23 for members of the council?
First, I just want to ask a procedural question. At what point in the process do you wish for us to bring out potential amendments?
So, Mr. Wall,
we are on the transfer resolution, which is used as part of closing the current year. There's amendments. I'm going to take that as part of the next week on the agenda, which is the budget.
Understood. Thank you. Councilor Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to make sure that I understood this correctly and really right, that the transfer from the city contractual obligation of $400,000 was to move that money over to the salary line item. Fire department because the salaries are coming in over budget. I just want to be sure that I understood that correctly.
The $400,000, my name is Lynn Patrick, I'm a state treasurer. The $400,000 was budgeted for the passing of the fire contract in city obligation, their contractual obligation line. So this by ceremony should move over to the salary line. Otherwise, they will go over that budget.
It's fine. So the contractual or contingency, it's called contingency line item.
There is a contingency line, but that is not the line that is on the sheet covers. It's called contractual obligation.
So the budget that we voted on last year.
23.
For those salary line items in the fire department were not the actual numbers. What you're saying is, in addition to the salary line items, there is another line item that says city contractual obligation. Now, contractual obligation could be any department, right? It could be finance department, it could be DPW, etc. But you're suggesting, what you're saying, that that $400,000 was specifically earmarked as an additional salary item for the fire department?
The 23 budget had fire salaries budgeted with no increase except for where we reserved money in contractual obligation.
And does that mean that their contract that was approved, when was that last contract approved? I forget. Last October or so, when that police and municipal. I don't remember a contract being approved in 2022. I think perhaps it was 2021. Was the last contract being approved in 5 months?
No, we didn't fire a few months ago.
It was in our situation.
That's what the $400,000 was for. This year. municipal police, I mean, over a year ago together, in separate.
Right. And this $400,000 was earmarked specifically to transfer to fire salary?
It was reserved in the event that a contract was agreed on. So, yes.
Okay, thank you.
To be clear, just for the record, for members of the public, I think that we in the council will have a good understanding how the budget works, but since there are members of the public here, members of the public, we'll stick that into everything. The fact that $400,000 would be transferred pursuant to this resolution, PCR 1523, that doesn't actually mean that people are $400,000 more by virtue of us passing this resolution, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, something else that I noticed in the budget, referring back to the fiscal year 2023 budget, that is the fiscal year that's wrapping up. I saw that for Fire 2 salary, which is the bulk of the Fire Department salary, the budget was for $16,586,000, and the fiscal year 23 projection was for significantly less at $15,540,000. So about $1 million less projected than budgeted for. That's not to say that overall the fire department didn't exceed its overall budget, because the it was approximately $1.5 million over budget on the overtime. What I'm getting at this specific question is that with the transfer of this $400,000, it would appear that the
fire department would still be under relative to the fiscal year 23 proposed budget that was passed last year.
So I can look at the PDP's title, leadership for finance. I thought you were preparing 23, 24. That's your first part of your question, is that?
Part of the confusion, I didn't mean to compare fiscal year 24 part I used to the work proposed. I meant to refer to the fiscal year 23 budget as passed this time last year compared to the fiscal year 23. That was included as the second to last column in our packets.
You need to look at both direct pay and overtime because they were very late on completing and getting it. So it ended up regular pay was less than what was contemplated, and overtime because they weren't able to boots on. Right late in the year, so the overtime is higher. But the 400,000 was something the council approved in the budget for 23. I gave fiscal note when you considered it, and it was more than the final cost of the contract was more than 400,000. And I have it in front of me, something like 587,000. We had 400,000 reserved, and they had to deal with the remaining difference.
Thank you. I appreciate the clarification of the additional comments there. I certainly do understand that it's important for the public to also understand that there's, of course, the link between the overtime and salaries, because if fewer firefighters are working, then those hours actually be up. So if the salaries end up being less than budgeted, then naturally you'd expect to what was budgeted.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any additional questions on PCR 58-24? Okay. Hearing on the approval for favorable action on PCR 58-24. Yes.
Mr. Pomeroy?
Yes.
Mr.
Howe? Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
Thank you. Motion passes. Second item this evening is PCR 57-23. Again, we had the public hearing on Monday. I'm looking for a motion. We'll get a second and we can have discussions. Councilman.
Mr. President, move favorable action on PCR 57-23.
Second by Councilman Ford. So at this time, you can take any request for amendments on PCR 57-23. Councilman Rivers.
So this is my first, and then after this one, I would defer to my colleagues to see what other amendments they may propose before I propose any others. So this one would relate to transferring the amount of $1,544,964 from line item 35-11, that is fire two overtime.
35, I'm saying one time.
35-111. Thank you. So that is fire two overtime, which is currently proposed in the amount of $4,427,321. And so that amount of my proposal for the transfer of $1,544,964 would transfer that amount to line item 85-174, which is the pensions for the Fire 1 pension system. So
We made a motion, we need a second, and we have discussion, a second by Council Lattice, go ahead.
So first, the logic on why from that particular point, is because when I take a look at the allocation of fire to salary and fire to overtime, that amount in the fiscal year 24 proposed budget, which is before us, adds to a total of $23,825. Before the IM transfer of that $400,000 hospital, which is proposed before that. If you compare that amount, the $23 million combined for the fire to salary and fire to overtime, you'll find that the fiscal year 24 proposed budget amount is 15.2% greater than the fiscal year 23 projection and 18.1% over the fiscal year 23 budget. It basically doesn't make sense to me that both the salaries and the overtime would be going up by such dramatic amounts. While we may have raises in the fire department, and we have additional personnel in the fire department, having additional personnel does tend to reduce overtime. And the raises certainly cannot account for approximately a 15% increase. So, by transferring $1,544,564, that would actually bring the combined fire to salary and fire to overtime to a rate of 7.5% increase over the total for the fiscal year 23 projections and a full 10% over what was budgeted in fiscal year 23 in the budget. So, I do understand that, of course, with any transfer, just as the city needs to balance vehicles, and if the price of gas goes up and ultimately exceeds the budget, we are not going to be taking city vehicles off of the road. We're going to make sure that there's gas in the tank. If the firefighters are out there working, then we're going to ensure that they're going to pay. Ultimately, with this budget, with the city budget works, no one's paycheck is going to be interrupted. So, if there is a shortfall, then just as so very often we see the overtime budget being exceeded by well over $1 million, just as happens to be the case from this last year as well, then I want to make it clear on the record that, of course, our firefighters are going to be paid. Now, why am I transferring that precise amount into that line item of proposing to transfer that precise amount into that line item of 85.174? It's because it is my understanding that that is the amount, $1,544,964, that would otherwise be included in that particular line item, if not for proposals to alter from our 40-year plan. We have been sticking with that 40-year plan for approximately 26 years now, and if we stick with it to pay those initially unfunded pensions from the fire department and police one systems that were initially set up, I believe, back in the 1970s and didn't begin to get funding until the 40-year plan was enacted about 26 years ago in the 1990s. But if we don't stick with that 400 plan, we're not going to be done paying it off substantially in your fiscal year 2036. We're effectively going to be further mortgaging this city, its residents, with that obligation for decades further into the future to the tune of $10 million and $15 million per year for at least a decade
out into the future beyond your fiscal year 2026. So, I think that it's important for us to stick with the 40-year plan. At the same time, I really do think it's important for us to start seriously funding OPEB. I commend the administration for beginning to fund OPEB in recent years, and I would also love to commend the administration for finally an administration coming up with a plan to fund both these massively underfunded pensions and to fund OPEB. However, I have noticed that a proposed plan to accomplish this long-term objective, which is a critically important objective for the city, to be able to fulfill those long-term obligations to city workers, firefighters, police officers who put in their time and service or promised these benefits, we need to honor those commitments to the best, the very best of our ability. We also, for a plan to be successful for funding the long-term benefits, I think that the more successful plan would be to increase funding over the next 3 years rather than decrease funding relative to what the 40-year plan would have provided. Unfortunately, the plan would actually contribute less money into those long-term benefits over the next 3 years than if they simply stick with the 40-year plan that's currently in effect. It would, of course, ultimately involve contributing much more money for decades, years and decades after these initial first 3 years. But I think that we should start strong with that early commitment. Let's leave the money in OPEB that's proposed for this fiscal year's funding of OPEB, and let's also stick with that 40-year plan so that come fiscal year 2036, the period which I believe will be given nearly $30 million in our allowance before it drops off in fiscal year 37 to a payment of nearly $2 million, and then in fiscal year 38, where no further funding is needed. The 40-year plan will have a complete master funding for the fire program and these small pensions. And of course, OPEB would still need to be funded. I think it's important for us to keep up the momentum of funding these long-term contributions. And I think that this particular line item, given that it's a double-digit percentage increase when we consider both salaries and overtime, is the money item that it can be pulled from. And given that it all relates to the fire department, I feel that this is fair to help compensate our firefighters within that same type of funding without negatively affecting other departments. Thank you for the questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions or comments from members of the council? Council Adams.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I may, I can share a question to Councilman Briggs. I actually had an amendment that I proposed to be 74, but differently. So my question is that line item 85174 to the benefits pension fire, it was reduced from $18,144,000 to 16 million. So it was reduced by $1,544,000. So why not make an amendment to just put that money back in?
That's a good question. In order to simply put that money back in, I think that that would involve either simply increasing the tax rate or having a further amount of money on the balance
that my approach may be the more appropriate approach, although I will say that given that the exercises we perform with the budget this evening are not necessarily going to affect what actually happens on the ground in terms of how firefighters get paid salary, get paid overtime, and things of that nature, then ultimately it is all coming out of the same place, it's all coming out of the general fund, which is a fair point.
Thank you. The finance director,
two different issues. First of all, both things saw, and I thought Jason and WG did a good job in saying, mainly that with the instant saving grant, we're running on all those costs. So the growth you saw there that was behind the contractual increases is, and if you look on page 59 of the budget, you'll see a revenue of $1,297,000. That's the amount of safety grant that's going to support those positions. Right, so that's what's important. You know, the second point is about, you know, we went over this earlier, and we had the actuary. The actuary, the same form that it was saying for 30 years, that we're here when I was 14, it's amazing. But, you know, they've given us great advice for 30 years. We now have these proposed grants. Locally in this room, we never had that do the COLA thing that the state did, and everyone started complaining about. He came up with what I thought was a wonderful plan. We've invested the money for firing this one, and we've had good returns. We've now got 27 years in for 40 years. We don't need to keep running it the same way, otherwise, we're going to have $40 million 13 years from now, and not really. He's giving us an opportunity to smooth out the payment and transfer a small portion of the increase in firearm release one. We would be paying $1.6 million more than what's in this budget. $2.6 million for firearm release one, and we wouldn't put anything over there. We didn't have this plan. He gave us an opportunity. He's going to be able to sign off on this on the financial statements, and we're going to have a report which has been documented. And we'll have a more expansive explanation of what this is. We're going to jump in and bring it down to the next year. So that's one issue is we really don't have that money in the fire department. It relates to $1.3 million in savings. A lot of questions about whether you want a one-time grant, I recognize I'm probably concerned about it too. But nevertheless, that's where the difference is. And I think you've got to go back to what you're presenting. We'll have more information before this comes up. I talked at the hearing about the background of the financial statements. We're not having a plan. Please give us a plan. It's going to save us money the next few years. So I'm going to keep making the case for it. And you can sign off, or you can't sign off. And Mayor and I go back and forth on it too, because there's some concerns about this, how strong the commitment is for the next few years. But we're going to get there and we'll keep making the case.
Thank you, Director. I would just respectfully state that by the city, I did make sure to review that plan closely, and I did ask questions. And I simply have hesitations about I'll say that I'm certainly open to the concept of changing the ratio of where funds go, whether it's into the pensions or into OPEB, to benefit the exact same employees, of course. All city employees long-term benefits. However, the method of doing that in a way that we would
and up to approximately $6 million less in combined contributions to those long-term obligations over fiscal years 24, 25, and 26, relative to if we simply kept funding over that level of $250,000 per year for those three fiscal years now, and sticking with the 40-year program. I would prefer if the city was making that additional $6 million in contributions over the next three fiscal years. Thank you.
I'm sorry, can you just identify yourself for the record? Mayor Brian Rosen.
Councilman, I just wanted to make clear, this is a budget that we anticipated towards the OPEB fund. That cannot be done until the city council changes the OPEB. It's currently the ordinance says it's passing the pension fund. So, we're going to be treated, we're going to be taking that out of the time in the coming months. Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions from the council? I told you. Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Marks, I completely concur with everything, completely disagree with anything going on out of this account, particularly that $1,544,964. This is a plan that's been in place now for almost 30 years, and it's one of those plans that happens to be very successful and is in the very close proximity to reaching sunset. We, as Mr. Schaefer indicated, we heard from our actuaries, and they also indicated that we had not averaged out that benchmark of 6.9%. The auditors also indicated that the plan currently to date doesn't support 6.9% annual return on average. They indicate a low rate of return, and I'm reading from my notes here because there's a lot of power with this. As I view this, by messing around with a plan that's been working quite successfully for 30 years to try and show up another plan that's not working at all, doesn't make any sense at all. If this money is pulled out of this plan now, and if the trends continue, and we don't make those benchmarks, what's going to happen is the taxpayers are going to end up having to foot the bill for the shortfall. Not for just one plan, which currently is working fine, another plan as well. And to me, that doesn't make any sense at all. Not at all. And I will be supporting your proposed amendment on that. And I am not in support at all of reducing 85,170.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Okay, hearing none, it's going to move favorable in a second. So, a favorable vote is to support Councilor Ricks' amendment. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Johnson?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr.
Gebhardt?
Mr. Powell?
No.
Mr. Lansing?
Yes.
Mr. McMorrin?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
No.
No.
2 years, 7
no. Amendment fails. Thank you. Amendment fails. Councilor Ricks, you still have the floor.
I will yield to my colleagues.
Okay. Are there any members of the council that have any amendments that they can propose at this time?
Yes, I'm going to do so.
Okay, Councilor Samantha.
I'm going to make a motion for a session.
Yeah, make a motion. We'll have a second. I think we can discuss.
All right, so one motion to move from that 1.8 unencumbered ARPA funds he was spoken yesterday, Monday, and so spoken with an email. I don't know what line I'm in. I want to move $370,000 from there into line item 39-000 on page 56 of the school department.
The councilman has made a motion to move funds from the ARPA funds to the school department. We need a second, and we can have a discussion. We have a second. Second by Councilman Riggs and Councilman Ford. Go ahead, Councilman Sanders.
So it's an initial disclaimer. I prefer to propose more, but I want to see if there's even an appetite for this amount first. I don't want to waste anyone's time. I sent out a list of potential cuts based on the shortfall that the school department is currently slated to have. And you'll notice that the 370 is aligned with the three FTE math interventions. The goal would be to make sure that those positions are not cut. For anyone who's at one school committee, to know exactly why. They've been quite praised, multiple meetings repeated. To watch the scores, our math scores, surprisingly went up at a time when people expected them to go down. And in no small part, banks and interventionists. I don't want to lose them. I don't know what anyone does, right? And considering that we're so big on making sure that we get bang for our buck, this is exactly what that is. Pay for the tough space as far as the results. And I don't want to lose it. The reason for the proposal from the ARPA funds is because they're not encumbered in any way as of now. It doesn't take away from a current project or proposed project. They're there for unforeseen when projects get to the proposed. And for those wondering how it's possible to borrow to pay for that line item and to be a current expense. There are other items within their budget that are eligible that are currently going to be paid for with normal funds. So they're able to shift funds accordingly to the other funds of this sort of ARPA eligible costs and the math interventions can be fine, assuming we add for that. Bear in mind, this doesn't add to the means of effort. If Re2 isn't add taxes, and last time ARPA funds were designated for the school department with the condition of, hey, they come back, if the aid goes up, we actually were able to recoup a significant amount for exactly that reason. Here, that same caveat would apply, and also, it's important to know it's arguably more likely the state aid would go up than previously because there's some issues with the funding formula and sort of like they might have to raise aid for everybody in order to make it work. So, odds are state aid will go up and thus we might get the funds back. So, there's very little risk to the city to designate funds that otherwise are just going to sit there and not be used. It's a current, present need. We know that the school department does need more money, not just because of the 1.4 shortfall, that precise number is, but also because we know there's actually additional shortfalls, such as with the teacher's contract yet to be negotiated. So there's not really a debate over do they need more money. I mean, obviously they do. At least here with the list they provided, we know. Things slated to be cut, we can target accordingly, and by using the ARPA funds, that's a so little risk for us, only benefit. This is really good. From my perspective, there's no reason not to. I'd be happy to talk about the other items on the list as well, if there's any appetite at all for it, because I have personal knowledge on a number of them, and then I have knowledge from the school department as well. I also know that members of the school department and members of the committee are volunteering, so I'm sure they'd be willing to address questions.